You're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
You must unlearn what you have learned.
That it is you who are mistaken about a great many things.
Welcome to another fantastic episode of SWTOR Reforged. Today is Monday, February 10th, 2014. Our show is sponsored in part by tweakedaudio.com. For quality headphones and 30% off, you'll need our code OFFTHERECORD for tweakedaudio.com. And by Audible, audibletrial.com/QuestGamingNetwork. Today we're going to be talking about Game Update 2.6, Galactic Starfighter, and we've got a launch trailer to show you as well. Then, Lou will be talking about the Lost Tribe of the Sith in the Jedi Archives, plus our Dev Tracker Post of the Week, and our Star Wars Recommendations of the Week, including your emails, tweets, and or Facebook posts, and of course our SWTOR Podcast Fansite Weekly Update on our holofeed. I'm your host, Jedi Master of Arwen, and I am joined right next to me here in the cockpit of the Ebon Millennium is Agent Olan.
Hello, Arwen. Hey, everyone in Twitch, Hitbox, and YouTube, and in the chat room. Greetings, everyone. Glad you're here.
And the one and only, the deadly, dastardly Sith Lord Korv.
I love how every week you introduce the unimportant people first.
Good to have you back.
Well, I'm back.
But we're not alone. We are joined by Q2F3, our astromech droid here on the Ebon Millennium. What's up, buddy? How you doing? And the mighty Bodar. Take a bow, my friend. And, of course, Treek.
You may have heard I'm teaching Treek to bark like a dog.
haven't heard it yet. But before we get into all of the wonderful, fantastic stuff that we're going to be talking about soon, let's Agent Olan, you've got something quick to mention, do you not, sir?
Oh, yes, I do. And for something quick to mention, just want to let everyone know, hey, there's going to be a new animated series that's going to enter the Star Wars universe. It's called Star Wars Rebels. It's scheduled to premiere in fall, later on this year. It's going to debut as a one-hour special telecast on the Disney Channel. And it's going to be followed by a series on Disney XD, on XD channels around the world. Okay, this forthcoming series is set 5 years before the Battle of Yavin. Mm. During the time frame between the film Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith, and Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope. And as I mentioned before, again, the premiere episode is going to air as a one-hour special on Disney Channel. And then the series will be shifting over to the Disney XD channel. All right. And the whole premise behind the story is that the series is going to follow a motley group of rebels, the crew of the starship Ghost. and their struggles against the oppressive Galactic Empire. Right? And you're just going to be exploring the origins of the Rebel Alliance.
All right. That actually sounds pretty interesting, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. To get into that. Oh, Fred, you
interesting, the Treek barking like a dog.
Treek. Treek, woof. Woof.
Woof. There you go.
Good job, Treek. Good job.
Outstanding.
Fantastic. All right, guys. Well, I think it's time that we kick the old ship here into hyperspace, and we move on into the back, and I'll sit down, relax, and have a discussion or two. What do you think?
I'm looking forward to it.
It's been a long week running our dailies on Oricon and hanging out with our SWTOR legacy families and all that. So,
yes, and I've been enslaving all of their companions all week long. I have been running my own cartel and raising many, many trade skills.
Mm. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
It's making me rich. Before too long, we'll have a better ship.
Well, we definitely need that. That's for sure. There's many, many things here that need to get repaired. Right, Bodar? Indeed. Yeah.
One day we hope to get a ship that doesn't run off of the remains of Treek's predecessors. I know. Shut up.
Very loquacious today.
Omi-topi.
All right, Lou, kick it into high gear.
All right, here we go. Not again. Come on.
Maybe kick it into high gear?
Kick out. Well, I guess.
Hold on. Wait, no. Get it right. Oh, wait. I always forget to push this button right. There we go. All right. Hey, that was easy this time this week. It's amazing what you do when you read the manual.
Not really.
In the glove compartment. Well, at least we didn't lose an entire satellite dish.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
That got a
we
little...
don't have one left to lose.
Well, I didn't say why. I just said at least we didn't.
Ebon Millennium is more disproportionate than the trooper ship.
Well, it's nice to sit down and relax back here. Hopefully we can. Well, what's that?
I gave Lou the seat where the fat person normally sits.
Oh, right, the one that needs more stuffing in it. Correct.
It doesn't need more stuffing now. I took the clippers to Bodar.
Poor Bodar.
Yeah.
Wow, he does look a little bald in that one spot, man.
Quit looking at his butt.
It's all right, buddy. It'll grow back, I promise. I know. It's true. You can hardly notice it. Well, so... let's go ahead and check the old holo feed here and see exactly what's... this is interesting. New video here called Galaxy Under Fire Launch Trailer has debuted. And we should give that a little look-see. What do you think, guys?
Let's fire it up.
All right.
You've had worse ideas.
Should be pretty interesting.
Welcome to Kuwok Drive Yards. The beating heart of the Republic Navy. A heart we're about to pierce.
We must do everything to ensure Kuat Drive Yards remains in Republic control. Good luck out there.
Well, okay. Apparently, it just doesn't feel like playing anymore.
It played through the good part. And in fact, I think now I'm going to sell Q2 and get us an HK unit.
Oh.
Poor Q2.
Maybe he can help you drive the ship.
Well, you know, for the video part of our show, I'm sure that was interesting for about 3.5 seconds. And for the audio part of the show, I'm sorry, it's really not a whole lot other than just some pretty awesome Star Wars music. But
you're welcome, audio listeners. You're gonna be bored for less time this week.
All right, back on the old topic train here. Let's see. And okay, here we go. Our coverage of Game Update 2.6 Galactic Starfighter. The major highlights here are already coming to us right now. So 2.6, guys. We've all downloaded it and had some time in it so far. Here are some of the major highlights, and I guess maybe what we'll do is we'll talk a little bit about some of our gameplay this week in 2.6 and how we like some of these features. The number one thing here is that free to play players now have access to Galactic Starfighter, which up until this point was sort of like an exclusive feature in Star Wars. Also, regarding Galactic Starfighter, there is a new ship role that just came out, the Bomber. Now, this is coming from Jack Wood, the producer, off of the SWTOR.com website, and Darth Fredicus. Maybe you'll give us a little blurb here on what Jack Wood has to say about the Bomber.
Are we allowed to say that on the air?
You know, we had this question, and you know, it sort of went like, Lou, do you remember the question that we were asking regarding Jack Wood?
Yes, I think he needs some kind of a fake name to go by when it comes to this, a handle, if you will.
Yeah, possibly call him Woody.
No, this isn't Toy Story. I believe Darth Loser is available.
I don't think he'd like that so much. But then he probably wouldn't like Woody either, so. Yeah.
Well, if he didn't like it, it'd probably take him 9 weeks to let us know.
Indeed. Indeed. So, Fred, please, the quote.
The quote.
All right, so Jack Wood here.
Which part?
Huh? Don't worry about it. It's okay. I got it for you. It's all right. So Jack Wood here about the Bomber says, the Bomber plays an important role and can be a great ally or a tough foe in combat. The Bomber is primarily a heavily fortified support ship that can drop mines and drones throughout the battlefield in order to give its allies a unique advantage. Mines provide excellent area defense support as they can cripple any enemy ship that gets too close. Drones can offer support in the form of laser cannons, missiles, repair, or even hyperspace beacons that provide spawn points for allies within the zone. Also, some new features include new gameplay mode for Galactic Starfighter, Team Deathmatch. And along with Team Deathmatch comes two brand new maps, Lost Shipyards and Kuat Mesas. Also, New battle record and detailed scoreboard for Galactic Starfighter has come out as well. And again, we've got a quote here from Jack Wood as well. So maybe if the good old Sith Lord here has managed to pull this up on his old holofeed, maybe you could give us that quote then.
I'd just like to point out that most quotes actually have quotation marks. The battle record
is accessed via your hangar and keeps a detailed record of your lifetime statistics within Galactic Starfighter. Players who have been engaged in Galactic Starfighter matches since 2.5 will notice that their lifetime stats are already in place as the battle record works retroactively. It also provides you the ability to link your stats to show off in chat. The detailed scoreboard can be seen after each battle and gives you all kinds of valuable information, including kills, deaths, damage dealt / received, objective captures, and more.
Also, a brand new feature is, and I think probably one that we're most interested in, was Kuat Drive Yards. Jack Wood is quoted by saying, Game Update 2.6 also includes a new category in Group Finder, Tactical Flashpoints. Tactical Flashpoints are role neutral, meaning Group Finder will match the first four players it finds regardless of their role. The first Tactical Flashpoint, Kuat Drive Yards, is available to players starting at level 15, and it will match players across a very large bracket using Bolster, making a great way for players of disparate levels to play together. Additionally, each time you play Kuat Drive Yards, your objectives are randomized, giving you the potential for a new experience each time.
Interesting. Yeah. The way that he worded it this time, he actually said that it was just role neutral, as opposed to the video where they announced it, where it said role and level neutral. So I wonder at what point they decided that they were going to make the change and do the two brackets.
Yeah, that is actually a little weird. Now Lou and I had recently had some time playing KDY level 55, mm-hmm. and I know I had gotten a chance to play it on my 34 consoler some days ago. Now, I guess I'll get into that in a little bit, but, you know, Fred, I'm a little eager to know about how some of your experiences were with KDY.
All of my experiences so far have been pre-55.
Okay.
And I've gotten in there with my girlfriend each time, and it seems exactly like Esalis and Black Talon would be if you cut out all the story content. Like, okay. The mobs are easy to just plow through with any group composition, and the only time we really needed to heal at all was on the last boss.
Yeah, I can sort of attest to that for sure.
Yeah, I think we both can.
Yeah. Without a doubt. Which I find a little weird on the level 55 part of this, because, you know, Lou and I were playing KDY, and, you know, you zone in and you get your randomized portion. Now, when I played the level 54 version, I got this part where I had to, I forgot the name of it, I should have written it down, but I had to destroy these weapon caches. And I played it twice in a row, and I got the weapon cache version of Kuat back to back. So I, you know, I don't know if under level 55 has some kind of a thing where, you know, the randomization on that is not necessarily as randomized as they say. Now, Fred, which one did you get a chance to play?
Well, I did a few different ones, and honestly, it was so monotonous and just grindy that I didn't really pay attention to what the quest objectives were, because our group was just plowing through stuff so fast. I was playing a healer for most of them, so I was just running around trying to heal the guy that was tanking. and I didn't really have a lot of time to take in the scenery because everything was happening so fast.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I mean, you know, that actually tends to happen. You're basically using pickup groups, and you're not necessarily always going to get the most helpful people in there. Earlier today, Lou and I were playing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we got this one guy. We were playing for maybe about, I don't know, 15 minutes, and at that point we just vote kicked the guy. He was a DPS. I was tanking. He was constantly pulling left and right, and you know, very early in this whole thing, it became apparent that you can't just run through the level 55 version of KDY and not have a healer. Like, you actually really do need to have a formal group composition in order to do it effectively and efficiently. It's a good thing that I was there as a tank, because I don't know if, you know, everyone there was going to be able to really grab like some of the mini bosses and all that and get through it. I mean, he was doing some severe damage to me.
Yeah, I mean, you and I think we were the only ones who were 55. I mean, the other Sentinel was 54, and the Trooper or the Commando was level 34.
Oh, hold on. Wait, how did you get into the Flashpoint together if there's supposed to be two different brackets?
We were grouped up.
So, wouldn't that have put you into the lower bracket then?
Well, I think we were all 55, because Lou and I were both level 55.
55, yeah. And I know, yeah, but the other Sentinel was definitely, he was 54, though.
How?
I'm trying to think.
I don't know about that.
That's not supposed to happen.
Yeah.
You're supposed to get in there with all 55s if you're 55.
The way KDY is separated, and it is actually separated. I'm not sure if that's, you know, common knowledge right now, but from 55 to 54, everyone gets a version of the instance. And then 55, you know, level 55 players can only group up together in the level 55 version of the instance.
I would still like to see them make it so if I'm on one of my 55s and my girlfriend's playing a level 20-something, I can group with her and still get into that pre-55 one, even if they don't bolster me because I'm already 55.
Yeah. The other thing, too, that I had noticed about it, which I thought was weird. Now I'm going to remind you, I was in the level 55 version of KDY. I was actually still bolstered. I had the little icon underneath my my character portrait there. It said bolstered. So they bolster you no matter what.
They'll bolster you if you're in the pre-55 one, or if your gear isn't up to what they think it should be.
Oh, that that level? Average level, yeah. For the gear now, right? Yeah.
That could have been it.
Yeah.
That could have been it, because I'm still on Oricon trying to increase my gear. Trying to get
same
gear
here.
Upgrades.
I mean, you and I think I just started Oricon about maybe a week and a half ago. So
maybe
got a lot of catching up.
Maybe that was the issue then. Maybe it's not necessarily the fact that it's just you have to have a normal group composition in order to get through the level 55 version of KDY. Maybe it's just the fact that our gear was not nearly what it needs to be in order to get through that instance. And we were having difficulty getting through it because of that fact, despite the bolstering.
See, I find it interesting, though, that you say that you need a normal group composition in there, because there's been all kinds of reports of level 55s going in there and soloing the 55 version.
Well, I mean, that was, you know, we played it. Lou and I played it together once, and, mm-hmm. You know, so... You know, maybe it's just my experience of it.
It could be the random like encounters you got were just horrible.
It could have been that they were more difficult. It could have been the fact that, you know, I am trying to swap out my gear. I'm trying to get gear upgrades. Now I was in full Rakata gear, and I've only replaced the Rakata gear with Oricon upgrades and like real big upgrades I've received from Oricon. So, you know, that's what I'm walking into KDY with at level 55.
I kind of wonder, though, what the threshold is for the bolster, like what level they're trying to bring you up to.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, you know what?
Probably full Oricon gear.
Yeah, Rode brings up a good point. You know, if someone's already got Oricon gear, it shouldn't be an issue. So probably, yeah, these people who are soloing it probably have all the end level gear already. You know, all the mods, everything that they need, and they could probably literally just walk in there and not have an issue with any of the mobs.
Like yeah, that Marauder themselves. That I saw during the Rackle event that was soloing the Heroic Four?
Mm-hmm.
And not even taking any damage, hardly?
Listen, I'll tell you this right now, all right? I've got, like I said, I'm in a lot of Rakata gear and upgraded Oricon gear. So, or let's just say, you know, Oricon gear. It's not that it's upgraded. It's just an upgrade for me. So it's Oricon gear, but... So just to get you an idea of where I'm at right now, and, you know, I found it difficult to get through that instance without necessarily a dedicated healer. Every single time we were done with a fight, and I'm not talking about the trash. I'm talking about, you know, mini bosses and all that. I had some serious healing that I had to do. I mean, I didn't get through with the skin of my teeth. You know, I did have maybe about a third of my health left. But for an instance that sort of says, you know, you don't really need a healer in order to get through this thing, I would imagine that it should have been a little less challenging.
Right. Like the encounter would be just a slightly, I guess, more forgiving.
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. I loved the challenge that was in there. I just wasn't expecting it. That's my only... And I'm not griping at all. Like, I really don't mean to come off like I'm sounding like I'm complaining. Dear God, no, not at all, not one bit. I'm just saying that it just wasn't what I was expecting. And that last fight that we were in,
mm-hmm.
we got our butts handed to us without a healer.
That's one thing that I noticed, too, is when we were doing the flashpoint every time, it seemed like everything up until the last boss just got steamrolled. And then when you get to the last boss, it wasn't necessarily that the boss was hard, but it seemed like it had a ton of health and it took forever to kill.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it did have a ton of health and it did take forever to kill. And I mean, the mechanics were very straightforward. I thought they were a lot of fun. And what I enjoyed about it was I felt that it was interesting. They switched up the mechanics enough and, provided, you know, a good amount of challenge. But it wasn't, you know, something that it took, like a guide that you have to go through the internet to find in order to figure out exactly what needs to be done in that fight in order to get through it. You know, it was, you played enough, you play enough MMOs, you basically know what you got to move your feet out of and move away from and get through the fight. So it was great. Like I enjoyed the hell out of that fight. Plus the little convenient Colto stations were very, very good too. In place of a healer, I definitely was able to move over there quickly, heal myself to keep myself up and alive and go through it.
Maybe that's just it. Maybe they build healing mechanics into the environment so that you can get through it without an actual healer.
Yeah. I mean, we three-manned it. At level 55, we three-manned
it. Right. And that's probably why our experience was a little bit more – just a bit tougher because we were down one person because we both kicked our fourth guy.
Yeah.
No one brought out a companion?
You know, that didn't even cross my mind to even try it.
Yeah.
Should have brought out a healer.
Bring out Doc?
Doc's useless.
Well, maybe whoever the third person was had somebody else.
I didn't have the ability to actually bring out a companion.
What do you mean?
I noticed that the little companion thing, it had gone, it was... I don't know. It,
sometimes the UI bugs, and when you need to bring a companion out after it's been blocked from you, you need to press N and open the crew window and bring them out that way.
Yeah.
And then it'll fix your little companion window.
All right. But you know what? It never even occurred to me to actually just do that.
No, it didn't occur to me either.
Because I figured, you know, we're all, as the mice, yeah, we actually have four people and realize, oh, wait, we aren't. We're three manning this.
Yeah.
Because we kicked that jerk out earlier on.
So, Kuat Drive Yard, scale of 1 to 10. Lou, I mean, how was your experience? 10 being, you know, amazingly awesome and don't do anything to it. It's great.
Today is actually my first time running through it.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's not, you know, I'll give it right now probably 7. 7 right now.
Okay.
For now. I mean, it was only my first time, and I still want to run through it a few more times before I give, an updated score. But I do like it, though. I mean, it was a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to doing it again and, you know, doing it on other characters. Like, you know, I can't wait to hop on it with my Imperial characters, like my Operative, my Marauder,
yeah,
and my Sorcerer. Oh, it's going to be fun.
What about you, Fred? What do you think?
5.5.
Come on, really?
Fred, the Olympics are this way, okay? The Olympics are over in Russia.
No, I'm being legitimate. That's my score for this.
Wow. All right. So we there's obviously a lot that you've got to say, and we haven't even addressed it yet.
So well,
go with it.
For one, they have a few different versions of this content, but there's a reputation associated with this. So assuming that you go through this and you want to max out that reputation – and you're very unlucky and you don't win most of the rep rules, you're going to be doing this instance several times. So you're going to see every possible combination of this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's no loot that drops inside of here.
Right. Little specific. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So there's no loot that drops inside of it. Which was something that Lou and I had noticed as well, because, you know, we, like I said, we had that one guy who we had to vote kick him. Now, I didn't like his attitude throughout this whole thing. You know, he was pulling all the mobs himself, and he wasn't necessarily doing a great job of holding the aggro and staying alive. So it was aggravating me that he was doing this. And then on top of it, the straw that broke the camel's back for me was when he conveniently kneaded on an item that we all agreed it on. And then his reasoning for it was, you know, you're in a pug. You need to need and not greed. Meanwhile, we haven't spoken about anything. So he got vote kicked. But I had noticed that was a mini boss that we downed, and we didn't even get any kind of gear at all whatsoever. So
yeah, gear or even a commendation or something to say, all right, yeah, you downed this boss. I mean, I noticed we did get achievements, though, as we progress, which I thought was pretty cool. So at least we had that.
Right.
Right. But then, remember, at the end, I was actually hanging out, walking around confused, saying, all right, did I miss something? Because we didn't get anything except that one, you know, that faction ward. So.
Yes. And let's just assume that you keep running this and you have bad luck, and that's all you end up getting out of this.
Mm-hmm.
So you're to max out your reputation, you're going to run this several times. I'm not going to do the math on it, but let's say you run this 100 times and you're very unlucky. Well, the currency that you need to get the speeder when you're finally at legendary status, you need a special currency that drops in there that you don't get every time you kill the boss. You got to roll against the group for it. So you could lose that too. And as far as the loot goes, this is supposed to be a flashpoint that everybody can do. All that they put on the vendor so far is one gear set that's reskinned, and it looks like something that a bounty hunter or some kind of a generic trooper would wear. So where's the Jedi armor? Where's the Sith armor? Where's the stuff that's actually themed to your character instead of just one shell that's supposed to fit everybody on every character that they're going to run through this?
Mm. Yeah, you're right. I did notice that. Yeah, there was only the one set of armor, which was adaptive. So,
in their current iteration, tactical flashpoints are never going to be as fun to me as a regular flashpoint that requires an actual group composition and drops rewards for that level. However, I do acknowledge that they're trying to put something in here that people can do with a lower queue time, and more things to do is always awesome, so that's why it gets 5 points right off the bat, and I give it the other half because it has a couple cool things on the vendor, but they really need to expand that if they expect people to put in the effort to grind out that reputation.
Mm. I agree. I agree with what you're saying. Not that I recognized it for myself, but now that you mention it, yeah, all of those things are not it's definitely not good to have that, you know, and it's too often do you play this game and you find out that the rewards aren't necessarily up to what your expectations were, and you know that sort of bothers me because it should be the case where your expectations are more than exceeded in imaginative ways that you couldn't think of. There's plenty of games where that happens, and you know, on such a great game like this, it seems like a lot of times, more often than not, you know, we get a case just like this that you're describing.
Well, I understand that they couldn't put amazing loot from this because you're not really putting a whole lot of effort into this compared to the other PvE content.
Yeah.
But they could have put more. And that seems to be the routine now, is whenever they add something they want you to grind a reputation for, they only put one gear set on there. So every character that they want you to work through this on is supposed to get that same exact gear set and I guess put it on a companion.
Mm. Yeah, the Rakul event was very, very similar to that as well.
And the Gree event was very similar too. They just added a couple different colors.
Hmm. All right. Yeah, I mean, honestly, me myself, I'd have to give it like a 6.5. You know, for those reasons as well, and it just seems like it's not as great as they were making it out to be. You know, as soon as I step in, it felt like, you know, man, you know you really do need a full group in order to get through this appropriately. It also felt like when I first attempted to get into it some time ago during the week, my Q had never popped for me as a tank. So that was a little disappointing, and that's what made me switch over to my lower level consular. So I agree. It's like a 6. Looks, I would say it's like a 6.5.
Not only that, but they could easily earn another point from me at least if they would just open this up and merge the two brackets. There's no point to separate them when there's no loot in there. Just bolster everybody to 55 and let them play it together so that the 55s can get an instant queue just like the low level people can.
Yeah, and that's another thing that kind of gets me as well with this, that I really wish that you can queue up with level 55s as well and level players. And also, I don't like how stingy they are with the rewards that you actually do get. I think there should be more times when, you know, certain reputation rewards that drop off mini-bosses and all that, I think that should be dropping much more often. I honestly, in my couple of runs that I ran through, I wasn't getting that a lot. I think I saw... It definitely wasn't every single boss where those things were dropping, those reputation rewards, and I don't believe I even received one. So, so it definitely felt like the only reward. I'll tell you right now, the only rewards I really got out of this was just completing the quest and getting the rewards from that. That was it. So,
well, this kind of reminds me of the Rakul event where I played the crap out of that, and every time I killed a special mob, I always lost the rules. I never got any of those alternate currencies. Mm. So I could actually see myself getting to legendary status with this faction and still not having enough currency to buy that speeder.
Right. And that's one thing that, you know, not just with Tor, but, you know, other MMOs that have come out, especially the past few years, where they really turn these factions into a horrible grind fest. I mean, that's all it is. Cut and dried, faction rep is just a horrible grind fest. All right, and as you just said, as we noticed too in the Raku event, you know, the special currencies you need to get, you know, it's just, you're supposed to make this fun, not into a chore, you know. As you said, Fred, and Varman, you know, it's like, you know, how do you turn this into a grind? You know, yeah, you mean you want to keep the players interested, you want them coming back to do more, but you know what? For things like this, especially if it's a tactical flashpoint where it's not on that same, I guess, tier or level as the regular flashpoints.
Yeah.
You know, make it fun. Like, yeah, you know what? Give us, you know, fun, frivolous stuff to have in those vendors. You know, and make it not, you know, easy street, but definitely don't make it like to where, oh, yeah, I need one drop from this guy, one drop here. No. You know what? Just let the players work for it, but don't make it to where, you know, it's just as bad getting the required drops as, you know, an operation, you know.
Well, I got to say that I not to be negative on it at all, but I had a fantastic time playing the content. I thought that I had a lot of fun playing it, and it really didn't matter, you know. Once I got in there, I was having a good time, and and that's the God's honest truth. So I think that's really what is the big takeaway here for me anyway, is that KDY is a hell of a lot of fun. The only problem is that, you know, there's really no rewards worth going after. It's kind of like, you know, if you're bored and you're looking for something to do, this is a very nice option. And once you get in there, it is a lot of fun, and it's a reputation to grind. All right, but 2.6 obviously had far more in it than just, you know, Kuat Drive Yards, and we were talking about some of the Galactic Starfighter stuff, which is really what this patch is all about. Again, Free-to-Play now has access to Galactic Starfighters. They got the new role in there, the Bomber. What else? New gameplay mode, Team Deathmatch. Two new maps as well, Lost Shipyards and Kuat Mesas. And then, of course, they've got the battle record and detail scoreboard as well. Now, I know Lou, Galactic Starfighter is really not his thing, and I know that of Fred as well, but I am wondering, Fred, if you had a chance to play any of this as well.
No, and I actually got a ship out of a cartel pack, so I was planning on getting in there, and I actually queued up for it one night, but it was like 1:30 in the morning, so I'd never got a queue to pop.
Oh, what ship did you get?
Honestly, Lou, I don't even know. I got it out of a pack, and I redeemed it, and I was ready to use it, and never got the queue to pop, because I figured, hey, since it's, you know, a ship that's added now, it's going to come in already mastered, so I should be able to do something with this one.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, that's really cool, man. Congratulations.
Nice.
Yeah. That's Thanks. Awesome. You got a whole ship out of that.
I'm pretty sure it sucks, though, because I checked the GTN and it was only selling for $100,000. That's why I was like, I'm just going to keep it.
Okay.
I mean, it can't suck any worse than the other ships I've been flying, because they all blow up relatively fast.
I hear that. I went through some of my stats earlier today in my hangar. Pretty god-awful. If you ever see me on, you know, flying around Galactic Starfighter, I'm an easy kill.
So try to say, if you're on their tail, don't worry about it, guys.
Don't worry about it, yeah. Just leave. Just don't bother me. Don't be bothered be okay. by me.
Wow.
Now, I haven't had it. I did actually play some Galactic Starfighter after the patch, and I didn't get a chance to access the Bomber, although I have to say I think they look awful. I don't like the Bombers. I don't like the look of them, but...
What did you call them before?
They look like boomerangs.
or some deformed, warped credit card.
Or a credit card. Like giant freaking credit cards.
We give you the ugly ones for free and charge you for the good-looking ones later.
But what I did have a chance to do was actually the team deathmatch. And that, I thought, was a lot of fun. You know, there's no points to capture. It's just how many kills can you rack up between your team and the other team. And that was a lot of fun. And I was trying it on my strike fighter and my starfighter, I should say, and also my scout. And
you cost your team every single death.
I was just feeding the whole team. Just, oh, you guys want another kill? Here I come. I'm coming. I do the best I can, but it's pretty awful. But I will tell you, like, it's a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun doing that. And you know, one of the things that can be a little difficult is, you know, you're trying to take a capture point. And, you know, there's three capture points on a map, and in order to take it, you have to destroy their defensive satellites. And then you start the process of taking the capture point. By that time, you've already basically called the dogs, and they're all coming after you. So you're like this little ship out in the middle of nowhere, and you're like, God damn it.
Please don't kill me. Please. Yeah. No.
hopefully my team will come out here and after I'm dead and start, you know, start a battle over here.
That's when I come up behind you in my TIE fighter and I'm like, I have you now.
What's a TIE fighter?
Oh, Bodar. Oh, my. Oh. You don't like that. He's so protective.
The Force is strong with this one.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a lot of fun. I really enjoyed Team Deathmatch. I played Kuat Mesas. That was the map that I was on. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely good. You know, lots of points to fly around. It's your basic map with asteroids flying around it and all that. So,
or just for our friend Theo, Kuat Mesas.
Mesas.
Mesas!
Let's see. So regarding 2.6, all right, I want you guys to just go ahead and click on that link there that's in the notes, and I want you to pick out one thing of this entire update that you would like to at least highlight as something that you thought was either good or bad or something worth mentioning out of this whole patch, because it's definitely a big patch, that's for sure. A lot of stuff in this patch.
Mm. Okay, what's bad is Cartel Market. I don't see Cellcath Companion added.
What's the deal with you and those Cellcath? They're not...
This is my new crusade, Varwin. Why? And I need you to join me on this.
No, I don't like the Cellcath. I don't care about them.
Don't ask me. I'm an Imperial Agent, man.
You're about to get force choked and thrown out the airlock.
So Fred, I mean, was there anything on here that at all that you wanted to point out, or maybe Lou?
I think Fred really wants to talk about the Cellcath Companion. I guess. Suggestion in the Cartel Market.
Yes. I'm not even lying right now. I normally just let my coins pile up and that's what I spend. But if they add a Cellcath Companion, it can cost 4,000 cartel coins. I will buy that with cash. I would give them my money straight away. And it can be the most worthless companion in the game. He could only have a vibro knife as his weapon. And have one attack. And no story associated with him. You just get him. And I will pay $40 worth of cartel coins for that.
Wow, Fred. He really wants to sell
companion. But preferably what I would like for him to be is some kind of a force healer, because nobody has a force healing companion. And in fact, everybody only has one healer companion, unless you count Treak. But, you know, through normal story means and actual humanoids,
yeah,
you only get one. And like for the Sith Warrior, which I'm still not going to spoil the story, but you end up hating Quinn So I would love a force healing Cellcath.
Anything else? While we're on the subject.
Right in a Cellcath crusade.
Yes, in fact, I would love them to see start adding new outfits to the cartel market, like some of those different Imperial agent outfits, like the medics and everything, instead of just the officer's uniform. That would be nice.
Sure.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
So, again, Fred, I'll direct your attention over to update 2.6. Is there anything that about this that you want to sort of highlight, or other than the fact that there's no Cellcath companion?
Okay. Let's go to the class changes here.
All right.
For Imperial Agent and Smuggler, they reduce the activation time, cooldown, energy cost, and damage done by Orbital Strike and Flyby. Which, everybody's been crying that this is a horrible nerf because it's not as effective in PvP. Okay, but in PvE, I actually use my Orbital Strike a lot more often now. And it is by far one of the coolest looking abilities that the agent gets. And sometimes in fights, I can actually use it twice now, whereas before I could only use it once. Because yes, they did nerf the damage, but they actually made it so you can use it more often. It cools down faster. And it costs less energy to cast it.
Mm-hmm.
And Legacy Orbital Strike still hits like a truck.
Yes, it does. But still, the fact that they did it, though, you know, it yeah, I'll get. Oh, I'm sorry. I interrupted. I'll wait for my turn because I might say on that too.
Well, I mean,
go ahead, Luke.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to remember the exact part. You know, the justification as to why they had to make these changes to Orbital Strike and Freighter Flyby was that what did they say? It was way over. What they intended?
It was because of arenas. People were going in there with operatives that were supposed to be healers, and they would basically cast the orbital strike around themselves, and while people were trying to kill the operative, they were just getting destroyed.
Oh, so a Sith Juggernaut or a Jedi Guardian has every right to, you know, expect to force choke my sorry ass, right? And smash me, whatever. No, they can do that, right? See, this is where I'm going with that.
This is another example of a PvE ability that was destroyed because of PvP.
PvP, exactly. And that's my main harp. You know, I really don't care how my abilities affect PvP. Because, you know what, that's just the nature of the beast. I mean, these are the skill sets these classes were given.
When the hell are developers, just general developers, going to understand that when you come out with a PvE MMO, it does not freaking matter what the hell you do with PvP. I am not playing that game for PvP. Right. Everyone is playing that game for the player versus enemy content. If I wanted to play a straight PvP game, I'd turn on my Xbox and play Battlefield 3. I mean, for God's sake.
Okay. We're not going to address you going to Xbox as your default PvP outlet. But,
I mean, I would play a first-person shooter. Okay? That's my point. My point is that, yes, PvP is a necessary component to an MMO. I'm not diminishing that at all. What I am saying is that most of your players out there are there for the PvE. There is no one out there that says, oh, I want to play Star Wars The Old Republic just for the PvP. Like, no one out there is, like, actually legitimately saying that or comes to the game with that in mind. Now, they'll come to the game and they'll experience the PvP, and after playing through most of the story, say, PvP is a lot of fun, and that's what I generally do now. But no one there was waiting, you know, online at GameStop, you know, for 24 hours during launch day and saying, gee, I can't wait to get into Hutball, and that's it. So, well, with
there
that,
were actually people that couldn't wait to get into Hutball because they were really teasing that pre-launch.
Yes, I know, right. That, but that's not the only reason why they're playing that game. And It's not even it's not even, you know, the biggest reason why they're playing that game. They're saying that Hutball is really interesting and I really enjoyed it and I can't wait to get into it, but I want to experience all of the other PvE content while I'm enjoying that too. I mean, it's just across the board, player PvE content is what drives people to MMOs, and I don't understand why developers constantly screw up character development and character building in favor of PvP, because it creates a huge wine fest all over their forums. For, you know,
well, let's face it, Evolven. All those losers that were focused on PvP as their way of life have long since abandoned the game. I mean, you figure after 2 years of being utterly neglected and forgotten about, they would have just given up. But no! They keep coming back and crying, the agent killed me, the smuggler killed me, nerf him, nerf him. And that's what happens.
Go ahead, Lou. Yeah,
and that's part of the issue. I mean, my issue is never, you know, PvP existing in the game. I mean, if it's there, it's there. And I will never, to me, one play style over another. All right? However, things have to be dealt with in better ways, okay? And one disturbing trend I've seen over the years with regards to balancing MMO PvE / PvP content is that, okay, no one from the PvE side ever says, oh my god, I've got to nerf Fireball on my sorcerer because it's just way too powerful. No, it's always coming from the PvP side. All right? There has to be a better way to make these adjustments in the game to where you do not drastically change the overall feel for what you design these classes to begin with.
Well, right? There the is, release.
Well, no, let me finish. All right. The thing is, lots of horrible changes have come to classes in MMOs because of PvP destroying the essence or, you know, the feel of these classes. All right. So I don't understand why this had to happen. To me, when they gave those reasons as to why they were changing and making the adjustments to Orbital Strike and Fate to Flyby, I was like, oh, okay, you know what? There should be cases to where the dev team should just say, you know what? This is how their skills are. The skill set is. Okay, you have to accept it. All right? Because to me, I would have used that. That is a great defensive ability for both those classes. Just letting, you know, Orbital Strike or Fate to Flyby at least give you those several seconds to where, yeah, you can effectively defend yourself and cause damage and help your team.
Go ahead, Fred. You had something.
Well, there is a better way to do this. You know, just like they get accused of stealing everything else from World of Warcraft, like every other game out there does, why don't they just take World of Warcraft's latest method and when an ability is too powerful in PvP, just nerf how much damage it does to players? Then you don't have to worry about nerfing PvE. Okay, Orbital Strike and Freighter Flyby are hurting players too much. Okay, it's only going to do 50% of normal damage against players. Problem fixed. And then it doesn't hurt the PvE side of things. However, as a result of this, and I'm sure as you can imagine, operatives and snipers and smugglers, well, not smugglers, but scoundrels and gunslingers, have been crying that their DPS has been hurt because of this. And that kind of rolls into our Dev Tracker post of the week, if you want to read that real quick and then come back to this.
Yeah.
I love it. After I get you two all good and riled up.
Lou, what regarding the update, what's something that you wanted to highlight?
Well, I just wanted to, you know, say again, you know, one of the main reasons why, you know, I was so upset initially, like over a year plus ago, okay, with the game, was the fact that, you know, I was my favorite class of the Imperial Agent, okay, playing my operative, who's spec'd for, you know, medicine is for healing. And the first set of broad changes that affected my class, right, was all not due to PvE issues, okay? It was due to PvP, okay? Destroying, yeah, I say destroying lots of, you know, ways of, you know, making yourself, making this class a viable force mm-hmm. within the game on both sides of the house, okay? It still is viable somewhat to a degree in you know in both PvE side and PvP side, but not as effective as it was before. All right, and again, these changes, these reasons they give, I don't need to hear it. You know what? Because I don't believe they're justified in the least.
Yeah, I just don't understand why, you know, most people pick up an MMO to play the PvE side of it, and they always, most of the time, they nerf your character based on PvP reasons.
Right, on PvP reasons. Right. And, you know, I don't care what devs say from any game whatsoever. There's no reason for it.
I don't care.
Right, you design the game from the get-go. You design these abilities from the get-go. If it really is that much of an issue, they should have thought about that when they first designed the game. When they first put pen to paper on market a whiteboard saying, all right, this is how we're designing our game. We need to make sure that there is a happy middle ground for the skill set to exist in both realms. So, you know, again, that's what I wanted to bring out. It's like, you know what, I understand these changes, there are balance issues, but it seems, you know, they're not doing as good of a job as they think they are in trying to bring this about.
So, Lou, on update 2.6, is there anything that you wanted to bring up?
Yep, let's see. God, I just had it here too.
All right, so let's just move on then. So we want to just mention that our show is brought to you by audibletrial.com. audibletrial.com/questgamingnetwork. You will receive a free 30-day free trial for downloading a free book today. If you go to that link, audibletrial.com/questgamingnetwork. For SWTOR fans out there, we would say that you may enjoy the book Revan. It's a fantastic book, either that or maybe Deceived. I've enjoyed both of them on my commutes to work using Audible, and a fantastic way to get into Audible with a free 30-day trial, get that token for free, and you grab up one of these books, and you can't go wrong. But other than that, there's a tremendous amount of other books out there on audibletrial.com/questgamingnetwork. Where you can download them and listen to all types of different Star Wars novels and all different other subjects as well. So thank you very much for sponsoring our show in part today. On to our dev track post of the week. And Fred, maybe you can show us a little bit on this subject here.
Dev tracker post of the week is from Eric Musco, and he weighed in to say, "Hey folks, I wanted to let you know that we hear your concerns about operative/scoundrel DPS and are passing it on to the combat team. As with any class balance change we make, we will continue to watch it and make additional changes as necessary. I will let you guys know if and when any additional operative/scoundrel changes are planned. Keep your feedback coming. Eric." And this is directly related to that nerfed orbital strike and freighter flyby.
Right.
Yeah, their operatives and scoundrels are basically claiming that it was one of their biggest DPS abilities, and now that it has been nerfed, their DPS is suffering extremely.
Yeah. Well, I can understand why it would be after something like that, you know. Yeah, hopefully they'll get it back, but it's good to know that they're watching it, which is, you know, definitely what they need to be doing, and hopefully we can trust them for their word here. All right. Well, we are Star Wars fans primarily. We're Star Wars fans first, and as by extension, we're SWTOR fans. So, as Star Wars fans, we have some recommendations to give to you this week. And I know Lou had some something that he wanted to present on the show today as well.
Yes, I did. Thank you very much, sir. And this week, I wanted to recommend another video game that I really enjoyed playing when it first came out. It is Star Wars Republic Commando. All right. And in this game, Republic Commando, you are following the tale of Delta Squad, right? An elite group of clone commandos through several missions during the Clone Wars. Okay? The game first came out in the States, in the United States, around 2005 in March. All right. And it was developed and published by LucasArts for Windows and the Xbox platforms. Okay? And if you want, you can actually find it on Steam. All right, just type in the search window when you go to the store and just type in Republic Commando and you should see the links or the, you know, at least the little, I guess, sales thing for it, and hit it there and you can look at it. I see, how much is it going for on Steam? 1 second.
Yeah, it was like $9.99, I believe.
Yep, yes it is. It is $9.99. Okay, yeah. For the game. And just to give people some more background of it, okay, if you're not too familiar with it, with the actual concept of the clone commandos for the Star Wars universe, okay, they are they're different than the base clones, clone soldiers, okay, and they're different from the ARC or the Advanced Recon Commandos, all right, the type of clones that you would see if you're watching the Clone Wars animated series. They're different from Cody, okay, and the other clone trooper that's predominantly or that's prevalent in the series. Gosh, what's the other one? I'm sorry. Is it Commander Cody and Captain?
Captain Awesome. Name?
What's that?
Captain Awesome.
Yeah, Captain Awesome. Captain Awesome. the reason why it's so much fun is that it's a group of four. Okay, so you're controlling four commandos. All right, that's how they work. So it's you. You take control of one, and you know you'll take control and direct the other three clone commandos in your squad and run them through the missions and stuff. And they all have different specialties, okay? And because they are commandos, yeah, they have different equipment that they get to play with, different armor, different skill sets. So yeah, it is a lot of fun. And believe me, seeing when the first time you ever saw Geonosis, you know, Attack of the Clones, and then seeing the battle, all right, when Yoda and the Jedi appear with the clones that are available at the time, and they all bring the Geonosis. But now you're actually seeing the clone that particular battle from a clone's perspective, and it was, you know, it is a lot of fun. Taking them, you're not taking them with a lightsaber. No, it's just your blaster rifle, your blaster pistol, grenades, and a good old knife. You know, and going to town.
All right, great. Thanks, Lou. I'd also like to recommend Dawn of the Jedi comic book series by Dark Horse. Now, this had started up, I think it was about 2 years ago, I believe. And Dawn of the Jedi issues 1 through 5, also known as Book 1, is out and available on Dark Horse Comics. And this basically takes place, believe it or not, 26,000 years before the Battle of Yavin. And it describes a time before the Jedi and the Sith were really ever formed, and before the Force was really ever truly understood in the galaxy. And this is the ancient beginnings of both the Jedi and the Sith. There's going to be 3 series of these comics. Book 1, which is really the first story arc, is issues 1 through 5. And again, it's called Dawn of the Jedi. And then Book 2 is also available now as well, and that is called Prisoner of Bogan. And that's a 5-issue series as well. They are just about to finish up the third and final one, which is Force War. Issues 1 through 3 are now available, and 4 will be coming out this month as well. So if you're interested in, and I think SWTOR fans would be interested in this, because you know, you just by virtue of playing Star Wars: The Old Republic, you know, you're involved in a part of the Star Wars universe that's, you know, showing history of the Star Wars films. These comics are fantastic because you're going to take it all the way back 26,000 years before the Battle of Yavin. And look, man, figuring out and seeing and reading a story that takes place before the Jedi and the Sith really ever formed, and the ancient versions of these people, it's absolutely epic. So, Dawn of the Jedi, Prisoner of Bogan, and Force War, Dark Horse Comics, fantastic series. I would definitely recommend that. Fred, what is this? Star Wars Helmets?
Yes, StarWarsHelmets.com. It's a website that shows you a whole bunch of the original helmets from the different Star Wars movies and gives you a little bit of details about how they were actually created in the first place.
Oh, okay. That's kind of cool.
And you get to see some behind-the-scenes pictures from the actual filming of Star Wars.
Oh, very nice.
Like, you can see the Darth Vader costume when it's all taken apart. A picture from 1977.
Mm. Real original helmets. Okay.
Wow, look at that.
Pretty cool, man. Yeah, we got the website up right now. And going through some of this. Now, Fred, is there anything here that you'd like to direct our attention to?
Well, any of the original used helmets, you can look at several different pictures of them if you're thinking about doing any type of cosplay or making your own to look like them.
Uh-huh.
I mean, especially Darth Vader, they show him from several different angles. And there's actually a picture where it appears, if you look at, they have Darth Vader like torn apart basically on the left, holding a green lightsaber. And it may or may not be, because I didn't read the article around it yet, but it looks like Mark Hamill in the background, like holding the lightsaber in his hand.
Where's that?
On the original helmets, and then click on Darth Vader.
Okay.
And then scroll down, and you'll see, like, part of the Darth Vader costume holding a green lightsaber.
Hmm. Yeah, scrolling down now. Trying to see where that might be. How far down I gotta go? It seems to be, like, a pretty long page.
Oh, there's only one with the green lightsaber. Can't miss it.
Yeah, I may have. That may have happened. There's one with a red lightsaber. That's pretty cool.
Oh yeah, you went too far.
Yeah. All right. I didn't see. See, the thing is, you said there might be like Luke behind there, and oh, okay, I see it now. Yeah.
Does it look like him?
You can't even tell. It looks like a random blonde guy from the 70s.
I'm asking you to identify an ugly man from the 70s.
All right. No, but cool. All right. Well, I appreciate that, Fred. Thank you. Now, let's see. Let me just pull this up over here. And looks like Agent Olan will be presenting The Lost Tribe of the Sith, Part 1, A Different Kind of Sith, in the Jedi Archives.
Alrighty, thank you very much, kind sir, and yes, as Rowan just said, today's archive, Part 1, is The Lost Tribe of the Sith. Or, in the words of Sela Corson, we are not your Sith. We are something new. A chance to do something right. A new tribe. So who are they? The Lost Tribe of the Sith was a marginal Sith order that formed on the remote planet Kesh. It was founded 5,000 years before the Battle of Yavin, after the warship Omen carrying members of Sith Lord Naga Sadow's Sith Empire, was ambushed, knocked off course, and forced to crash land on the world. The tribe quickly dominated the native Kashyyyk species, who believed the newcomers to be their gods. Sith Captain Yara Korsan became Grand Lord of the tribe and of the Kashyyyk, a title that was passed on to his daughter, Nita, after his death. Isolated from the outer galaxy for years, the Sith built a temple in the Takara Mountains over the Omen's crash site and moved their headquarters to the capital city, Tav. Although the original tribe consisted of several members of both the human and Sith species, Yara Korsan ordered the purge of all members of the latter in 4985 before the Battle of Yavin. Over time, the Sith formed a ruling circle of lords, made up of lords and high lords, and ruled by the Grand Lord. Although one Jedi Knight, Jelf Marion, discovered the Sith in 3963 before the Battle of Yavin, the destruction of his strike fighter permanently stranded them on the world as well. The Sith remained isolated for millennia, but after the end of the Second Galactic Civil War, 41 years after the Battle of Yavin, the Sith Meditation Sphere ship found the tribe. The ship informed the tribe of the Jedi's newfound dominance in the galaxy and of the recent destruction of the last remnants of the Sith. The ship assisted the tribe in traveling off-world and forming a new armada. And 2 years later, the tribe felt the presence of Jedi Grandmaster Luke Skywalker in the Force and determined to kill him. However, the ship was suddenly overcome by the will of Abeloth, a dark side entity living in the Maw, and deserted Kesh for Abeloth's world. The Sith quickly launched a strike team to recover the ship and assassinate Skywalker. The team encountered Abeloth in the Maw, and she weakened the strike team before allowing the ship to return to them so that they could continue on their mission. Their attack on the Jedi failed, however, and Skywalker and his son Ben tracked the Star Akai, the team's surviving member, to the planet Dathomir. There, a team led by Vian Galan captured a group of Dark Side and Night Sisters and dueled with the Skywalkers while attempting to retrieve Kai, although again the Sith were defeated. Shortly afterward, a fleet led by High Lord Sarisu Talon convinced the Jedi to form an alliance against Abeloth, who was causing a psychosis among the Jedi Knights. The allied mission resulted in the Sith betraying the Jedi in hopes of killing the Skywalkers and forcing Abeloth to serve them. But the Sith failed yet again to kill a Jedi. Abeloth was defeated, and the Jedi and Sith temporarily repaired their alliance in order to learn more about her origins. However, the alliance was soon broken, and a later confrontation between the two parties and Abeloth resulted in the death of Talon. Meanwhile, the Sith perfected their piracy techniques and built a war fleet in preparation to conquer the galaxy. The Fountain of the Lost Tribe, 5,000 years before the Battle of Yavin. Or, in a quote from Yara Korsan, "When we landed, we were few. Our survival was not guaranteed. The tribe, what we have become, was the necessary mechanism. Once we knew Kesh held no dangers for us, the only threat came from ourselves." And her thoughts on the subjugation of Kesh? "It was our destiny to land on this rock, and we are bound to our destiny. For a time, it looks like we're bound to this rock. So be it. We're Sith. Let's make it ours." 5,000 years before the Battle of Yavin, the Sith dreadnought Omen was ambushed while mining Lingan ore for use in Sith Lord Naga Sadow's planned Sith invasion of the galaxy. As the warship fled into hyperspace, however, it collided with the fellow Sith vessel Harbinger, knocking it off course and causing it to crash land on the remote wild space planet Kesh. The Sith soon evacuated the crash site, which was located in the midst of the Citadel Mountains. However, the Omen's captain, Yara Korsan, returned to the crash site to try to send a transmission in the hopes of being rescued. However, his half-brother, Devor, was already there and insisted that since they had failed Citadel's orders, they would be killed. Devor attacked Yaru, and in the ensuing duel, Devor was thrown off the edge of a cliff to his death. Yara Korsan also discovered that the ship's transmitter had been destroyed. By the end of the second day on Kesh, the Sith's entire complement of Masasi workers had died. The survivors of the crash soon soon after met a member of the native Kashiri species, Adari Vall, who had been branded as a heretic by her people for her geologic teachings and had witnessed on her Yerevak the death of Devor. With the aid of Vall, Horson tricked the natives into believing that the survivors were the Skyborn, the legendary gods of the Kashiri. Corson was proclaimed as the Grand Lord of the Skyborn, and the Sith began to mine for the metals needed to repair their vessel. Although Vall knew that the metals needed to repair the Omen, if they existed on Kesh at all, would be buried deep beneath the planet's surface. Indeed, the appropriate metals were never found, and the materials needed to upkeep many of the Sith's technology and their equipment were unattainable on Kesh. Nevertheless, the tribe constructed a Sith temple over the Omen's crash site in the Setajan Mountains, which are renamed the Takara Mountains, after Grand Lord Yaro Corson's mother, Takara. The Sith themselves established rule over the Kashiri, who willingly submitted themselves to an eternity of servitude. Purge of the Red Sith. Or in a quote between Revillian Roth and Seela Corson, "What did you do? What did you do to us? Nothing you wouldn't eventually have done to us. We are not your Sith. We are something new, a chance to do it right, a new tribe." Among the roughly 300 shipwrecked of all the survivors of the Omen's crash were members of the human or Sith species, except for one surviving Hook. However, the members of the Sith species, known as the Red Sith, were unable to reproduce. None of their offspring lived past their first day. Unbeknownst to the other Sith, Seela Corson, the widowed wife of Devor Corson, who had since remarried Yara Corson, ensured the deaths of all Red Sith offspring in hopes of making the tribe purely of a human bloodline. Meanwhile, the surviving Red Sith, who had taken the moniker the 57, feared that their inability to reproduce was due to Kesh itself, and thus pushed for the tribe to work toward finding a way to leave Kesh. To that end, 15 years after the Omen's crash landing, when Grand Lord Corson gave the spokesperson for the Red Sith, Ravelin, the assignment of examining 8 Kashiri villages on the Ragnos Lakes, Ravelin decided to poison the Kashiri. He had recently discovered that cyanogen silicate, a cauterizing agent that had been used by the Milisasi aboard the Omen, was deadly to touch the Kashiri, but had no adverse effects on the Red Sith. Ravelin and the other Red Sith traveled first to Tetsubal, the village farthest from the Sith temple in the mountains, where Ravelin introduced the cyanogen silicate into the town's aqueduct systems. Tetsubal's entire Kashiri population was killed, along with Ravelin's human aid. Ravelin sent a message to the Sith temple through the Force, and Yaru and Seela Corson quickly responded. Upon their arrival at Tetsubal, Ravelin lied that he had arrived to find the entire village already dead, and he suggested that, since the plague could also affect humans, the Sith should cut off all contact with the Kashiri immediately. As the Grand Lord recalled the Sith in the tribe to the Takara Mountains and sent out reconnaissance flyers to see if the plague had spread, Seela Corson, who had discovered Ravelin's treachery, decided to use the cyanogen silicate to her own political advantage. She introduced the silicate first to the village Rabalo, and then to more and more of the villages along the Ragnos Lakes. She then persuaded her husband that it was Ravelin and the Red Sith who were spreading the plague. Convinced that they were plotting against him, Yaru Corson ordered a purge of all of the Red Sith on Kesh. Taken completely by surprise, the Red Sith were quickly hunted down and wiped out. The Grand Lord and his Chief Lieutenant soon cornered the last survived members of the species at the precipice where the Omen had crashed, and those who surrendered were thrown off the cliff to their deaths. Ravelin, the last surviving member of his species, was soon captured by Seela Corson and tortured. She confirmed that she had seen the deaths of all the Red Sith babies, and that she was behind the poisoning of the Kashiri towns and the Red Sith massacre. She then had Jared, her son from her marriage with Devor, kill Ravelin. However, Seela herself had played into the hands of Adari Vall, who had begun to lead an underground resistance movement to rid the Sith from Kesh. Vall felt responsible for her species' subjugation 15 years earlier, and desired to personally remove the tribe from her homeworld. After the purge, Sela also erased the tribe archives of all entries about the Sith species and about the slave status of the human survivors of the Omen in the Sith Empire. This concludes part one of The Lost Tribe of the Sith. Stay tuned next week, part two, where I pick up from here. And I want to say thank you to the Wikipedia, Force.net, and StarWars.com for all the information they have on their sites. Folks, if you enjoy the lore as much as I do, please visit these sites. Take a look at all the lore topics they have there. You will not regret it.
Hey, Q2, what'd you think of that lore segment? Yeah, you liked it? Okay, very good. Great job, Lou. Thank you. This show, of course, is sponsored in part by TweakedAudio.com, quality earbuds, free worldwide shipping, unbeatable customer service, and a lifetime warranty. Well, you'll need our code off the record to receive all that plus 30% off your entire order. Folks, if you're looking to purchase some brand new headphones, we would recommend TweakedAudio.com. Once again, just unbelievable, very, very durable product. Sounds great and will last for quite a while. And if anything ever goes wrong with them, you just go ahead and give them a call, let them know what happened. New pair for free, no questions asked. 30% off your entire order. Use our code off the record, and they'll ship them out to you wherever you are for free as well. All right, that brings us over to the Holofeed. Fred, maybe you can reiterate what some of our friends out there in old Twitter land and Facebook world have to say.
All right. From Twitter, Merrick at Watchman underscore Merrick said, I just started reading SWTOR Deceived on my flight today per at SWTOR Reforged recommendation. It's great. If you play SWTOR, check it out. Spencer at the underscore dirty underscore spoons. I just finished listening to the SWTOR Reforged podcast and it was very good. Shout out to Lord Fluffy Duck. You're such a good sport. And Hada Chimera at, this is Mara, at SWTOR Reforged. Hello! Have you guys ever considered reading some Star Wars comics? I think your recommendation segment is a bit lacking in comics. I think Yvorwin took care of you today.
Yeah, as a result of this tweet, I sort of went back and said to myself, you know what, she's 100% right, and there was a series of comics that I did actually read that I can, that is ongoing right now, that I can recommend. So, great job, Mara. And again, you know, I definitely recommend Dawn of the Jedi, book 1, 2, and the third one is mostly done at this point. So,
okay, the time to talk about crap nobody cares about was 2 segments ago, Yvorwin.
And from Facebook, Fred, where what are they saying there?
Well, we got one more from Mara.
Okay.
This is SWTOR Reforged. I recommend Clone Wars series starting with Defense of
Kamino.
Whatever. Good at illustrating events during and after the wars. And on Facebook, we said, it's like Hoth outside. I said we burn a Republic base for warmth. And people responded, or a Jawa. That was from Christopher S. And Lou even weighed in on this. Holy crap. That isn't what he said. That's me, that Lou actually weighed in on this. Jawa smell just as bad or worse as Tauntauns. My question is, why in the galaxy are we on Hoth? Probably because Yvorwin was driving again. Tom F. says, Sal's Tauntaun.
General Sal's Tauntaun.
No, I thought that was part of his name because it was misspelled. Yvorwin must have typed this. And, yeah, said, that's what happens when you let Yvorwin drive. Yes! Yes! That one was from us, and that was the best one.
Best one ever. We received two five-star reviews on iTunes.
Hold on, you got to do the song now. Things just get better and better.
That's a Elder Scrolls Off the Record thing. We don't do that here on the Ebb of Millennium.
That's an evolving thing. Do it now.
So, thank you for those of you out there who did rate our show 5 stars on iTunes. This comes from Glimmer Mist from the USA and says, Avarwin's reaction to being able to duel with a real-life saber was awesome. I LOL'd literally in the middle of work in my cubicle, and my coworkers were like, Gia's listener podcast again, and I responded, yep, Star Wars 1, 2. And Sith Maul 77 says, I have to say, you guys rock. I listened to all of the Reforged podcasts, took about 2 weeks. I really enjoyed them all. The lore, news, and Fred with the Force Choke is all worth it. I'm really glad you're back, and I hope you stay for years. I can't get enough of SWTOR Reforged. When I got the last podcast, or when I got the final podcast in quotes, I almost started crying. That was one hell of a way to end a show. Please don't do it again. The outtakes are really funny. The three of you guys are great together, and I hope you're enjoying being back in the game. Your faithful fan, Serato, Sith Juggernaut, and fan of the Force Choke, Server Shadowlands, P.S., don't change.
Things just keep getting worse and worse.
I like that. That's pretty good. What's going on in your SWTOR community? Well, check out these up-to-date podcast episodes, including the SWTOR Galactic Gamers Coalition, a community podcast community-driven show just for Star Wars The Old Republic. Recorded its first episode yesterday, Sunday, February 9th, and is produced by and starring Torocast's Road and our very own Fred, with special hosts May of Torocast, Chill and Tio of UtiniCast, and me. I was on episode 1, so that was a good time.
Yes, and it isn't released yet because we're still trying to get Eric Musco nailed down for an interview. Literally, we got the nail gun hooked up and everything. we're just waiting on that. So if you want to know when that's coming out, follow that show on Twitter at SWTORGGC.
Yeah, it's a monthly show that these folks are going to be on, and I may make my appearance every now and again on there as well. It was a good time.
Like, I'm not going to rope you into it every month. That's cute.
Well, I had a wonderful time. So if the invitation's out there, I'd be more than happy.
Yeah, you keep saying that, and I keep realizing I dropped the ball. We'll do our best to make you miserable next month.
Looking forward to it. Torocast Hard Mode Episode 12 will record this week. And look for both of these shows on their site at torocast.com. February 8th, UtiniCast Episode 119 is available at utinicast.com. That's OOTINICast.com. The unnamed SWTOR podcast, episode 33, recorded February 10th, and can be found at gaddockgaming.com. That's G-A-D-D-O-C-K, gaming.com. February 3rd, SWTOR Escape podcast, episode 24, is available at newoverlords.com. And also, do not forget to follow our buddy, Madmar, a.k.a. Lord Fluffy Duck, on Twitter, at SWTOR Family. He keeps us up with everyone who does a SWTOR podcast and posts show links when the show is available to download. So use the hashtag SWTOR Family and hashtag SWTOR Pods for all of that information. If you'd like to have your podcast or videocast or fan site listed on this segment, please send us an email at SWTORreforged@gmail.com. And for those of you out there who have some discussion points they want to talk about regarding 2.6, send us an email and let us know what you thought about Kuat Drive Yards or maybe the bomber that just released in 2.6 as well.
Well, I've been thinking. And I've just...
Just can't get your Hollow Fee to quite work right this particular episode.
Mostly that I hate Skype.
That was perfect.
But Skype additionally, is... Lord Fluffy Duck, this week your task is to give Treek a throat culture.
That could be taken a few ways, I suppose.
Good luck. She has sharp teeth like a Twi'lek.
So,
that's a disturbing image now.
Yeah. Probably a good time to end the show, which is what we're about to do.
Things keep getting worse and worse.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, here we are at the bottom of the show. Time for the top of the QGN community segment.
We hit the bottom of the show 4 segments ago.
There's a lot of truth in that, I guess. Fred, why don't you help us out here a little bit and start with this crap.
Skype willing. If I cut out, just pick up where I leave off.
That no one ever just listens to on this.
And now the weekly rundown of all the crap you don't care about.
You can find more information about our network at questgamingnetwork.com. We have forums at questgamingcommunity.com. Our site is SwotorReforged.com. You can email the show at SwotorReforged@gmail.com. You can follow the show on Twitter at SwotorReforged. You can follow Ivarwin at Ivarwin. Send him annoying tweets and always use the hashtag Ivarwinny. Lou can be found at GamerGuy11B. I can be found at SithLordKorv, K-O-R-V. You can donate to our shows. $10 gets you a special mention if you prefer. Need to say next episode. What the crap, Ivarwin? How did you word this? I think that that's not supposed to be read. But anyway, you can donate $10 to our network. And just make sure you specify what show you want that to be read on.
Yeah.
And if you donate $5, I'll know it's for SWTOR Reforged and I'll ridicule you on the air. Also, we have other shows, too. Really, Riffed Off the Record's the only other one worth listening to. But we'll go ahead and name off all this other crap. Riffed Off the Record is live Sunday nights at 7 p.m., and they can be found at RiftOTR. SWTOR Reforged is, of course, Monday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Totally Heroes follows this show at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Mondays. And Dave Adams is the host of that. Elder Scrolls Off the Record, the capital ship of the network, records Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Ivarwin's there. That's where he talks bad about me. Classic Elder Scrolls Night is Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And Community Game Night is Saturdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And occasionally on Saturdays, Shank actually does something. So look on Twitter to see if that's happening. You can like us on Facebook. And please do. We need more likes on Facebook. That's the only thing that makes me feel good about myself after an episode of SWTOR Reforged. Come on, Ivarwin. Say something, man.
I'm enjoying what you're doing.
You're leaving me hanging.
Am I?
Yes.
Okay.
It's like that time when I loaned you my Pazok deck and found miscellaneous cards inside Bodar's hair.
I don't like to talk about that time.
Oh. No, ew. Nobody does. Mental and then we made Lou get them. And you can find our Facebook at facebook.com/SWTORReforged. You can find the network at facebook.com/QuestGamingNetwork. You can follow us on Google Plus at google.com/QuestGamingNetwork. Check out all of our gaming videos, how-to guides, and podcasts live at twitch.tv/QuestGamingNetwork. And check out any video or anything that you may have just missed or want to watch again at youtube.com/QuestGamingNetwork. And really, guys, if you just listen to the audio version, at some point you should check out the video because that's where you'll see the completely unedited podcast for the most part. And then you'll learn the secret is that we don't edit anything out. and you'll be gravely disappointed that you don't get any bonus core of content. And it's also a pay game.
Very good, Fred. Thank you very much. YouTube.com/QuestGamingNetwork. You can go there to check out all of our gaming videos, how-to guides, and podcasts live. Also at twitch.tv/QuestGamingNetwork, or check out any that you have missed on our YouTube channel, which again is youtube.com/QuestGamingNetwork.
We should mention, Rode just pointed this out, that ToroCast episode 192 is out today and available on ToroCast.com.
Ah, very good.
And I actually guessed it on that before our community show. So check that out. That's the reason why you should. Take that, Road. There's your grenade to the face.
All right, guys, our final thoughts, and we'll start with Fred.
Another fun episode, guys. I'm glad that we had an opportunity to get together and really talk about our personal thoughts with the new content that came out in 2.6.
And Lou.
Well, I mean, I can't wait to try more of Kuat Drive Yards. I mean, I only did it on the one character so far, the Sentinel. Can't wait to go back in game and try it on all the others now. See how it goes.
All right. Yes. Great job, guys. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening in on YouTube, Hitbox, Twitch, and those of you out there who have downloaded us through our RSS feed and iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. This was a great episode. Really appreciate you guys for everything that you did tonight, guys. Thank you very much. Looking forward to playing more KDY. That's definitely something that I really want to get back into, and maybe tiptoeing myself back into Galactic Starfighter a little bit. Lou, on your mark, please, the jump to light speed, sir.
Let's punch these coins on the Navi computer. Thank you, everyone, for joining us with our Hitbox, YouTube, Twitch. Glad you're all here. See you all again next time.
Remember, the Force will be with you always.